Hi. Thank you for joining us at U Inc. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here to talk with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to lead you in a more positive and successful direction in life and in business. Some of these tools you will find helpful today, and some you will hang on the hook by the door for when you need to unlock something. This week's tool is authenticity, and why it is important to have the ability to represent yourself in a genuine fashion to others and yourself, and how to utilize this gift once I've demonstrated to you that this is a great tool for your brand.
Everybody rapping like it's a commercial, acting like life is a big commercial. So this is what I got to say to you all. Be true to yourself and you will never fall. Now I'd like to pass the mic to the A. So what's your name, yeah?
Finding authenticity has become the foremost spiritual quest of our time. It is a quest fraught with difficulty. In a time where our culture is rife with controversial issues such as environmentalism, economy, personal identity, consumerism, artistic expression, and the meaning of life, finding who we really are can seem daunting and much easier to follow the tropes put before us by the media. We live in a world increasingly dominated by fake, prepackaged, and artificial elements. Everywhere we look, we are bombarded by outrageous advertising, lying politicians, fraudulent memoirists. Many live in cookie-cutter suburban vapid developments, many others in their box in the sky, gentrified neighborhoods whose cultural accolade is eating out, barely nutritious fast food is still shoved down our gullets, willingly, as well as scripted realities on the idiot box. Vacations are bought in packages and packaged neatly in our story on social media. We spend time in virtual environments while idling in our real ones, and as a result, the backlash is we now want to be authentic. But it is one thing to say you want to be authentic, and it is different to understand what that actually means. Many people are rightly concerned that our culture is locked into a competitive, self-absorbed, and hollow individualism which gives us a shallow consumerist society completely lacking in genuine relationships and true community. But if we all crave authenticity, how is it that the world is getting even more unreal every day? How can we avoid the misguided pursuit of authenticity? This is a great question posed by Andrew Potter in the book, The Authenticity Hoax. And you can find all of the books mentioned here on U Inc., as well as our articles, on our NPR digital page at wcbe.org/program/U-Inc. And you can also find our podcasts of this show and others on SoundCloud and iTunes. Being yourself is not for the faint of heart. In order to become truly authentic, according to the book, Be Yourself, Everyone Else is Taken by Mike Robbins, you have to do the following. Confront and transform your fear. Express yourself fully and confidently. Deal with conflicts directly and resolve them effectively. Take risks and go for what you truly want in life. Keep things in perspective and have more fun. Trust, forgive, and celebrate yourself. Have more freedom, peace, and confidence in your relationships, your work, and your life. An excellent article that I read, The Gorgeous Reality of Not Being Well-Liked by Everyone, by Jordan Bates, basically sums it up for me. Caring too much about what others think of you stifles your ability to take risks and disrupts your social satisfaction. Being disliked means you stand for something. And I'm not talking about keeping it real. That is what people use as an excuse to be unkind to others and to themselves in the end. What we mean is being courageous enough to do your thing, stand by your values, live by your own lifestyle, even if it isn't popular. This is empowering because you develop a strong identity and gradually you become satisfied and confident in your own skin. You become authentic. I pay no attention whatever to anybody's praise or blame. I simply follow my own feelings. And that is a quote by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Our guest today knows the true meaning of authenticity. Lisa Baird Panos is a certified life coach who empowers women to create what they crave by helping them uncover, break through, and rewrite old, untrue stories that keep them stuck and unhappy in their lives. Her fun, fresh approach to personal development, as well as her belief that nothing is impossible, has inspired countless people to redesign and live more meaningful, energizing, and fulfilling lives. Her passion lies in helping women put on their big girl pants, also the name of her book, and take fearless action to create lives they crave. Lisa's messages have been resonating from college students to baby boomers looking for their next act. She's very interested in empowerment for women, as evident with her book, and some of this drive for helping women to advance comes from her involvement with Kappa Kappa Gamma sorority, which she was a member of when she attended The Ohio State University and then worked as an editor-copywriter for 10 years. She was also an English teacher at Columbus State. She also has regular workshops entitled Create What You Crave, where participants break through their fears to start living more authentically. She is a loving mother and is supportive to the women around her and helps promote their successes as well. Thank you for successfully being on UInc.
Thank you for having me.
So, Lisa, we have a lot in common. We both graduated from OSU. We both taught English at Columbus State. We both have daughters that we adore, and we're both wearing flip-flops today.
No way. There you have it.
We're soul sisters. So do you feel as if like you have these connections with other women? Because we see so many examples of women doing the opposite, like not supporting, maybe out of jealousy, maybe feeling threatened. So what is it that makes it different for you? Because you're really good about promoting the women around you and their successes.
I think once you find that confidence within yourself, it's so much easier to be able to promote other women. So I can sit here and say, you know what, you are doing a great job, because it doesn't take away from me. I'm not insecure. And so I'm feeling like, you know what, I want to empower other women to feel the same feeling. There's enough of us to go around that I don't need to take all the glory. Right. So I want to make you happy. I want you to live your best life. And so my thing is to connect to people that I really feel that, like you and I, we're mm-hmm. sitting here, we have a connection. We have all these, we're soul sisters.
Right,
here we are.
Right.
We met 4 minutes ago.
Right.
But again, I think it's not feeling the fear of, you know, are you going to be better than me? Mm-hmm. It's, I want you to be as good or better than me. And I'm not worried about that.
Do you think that then that could be a possible red flag for a woman when she does feel like she has to draw other women around her? Like maybe that could be a red flag to say, I need to really check in with myself that maybe I'm really not satisfied with who I am and I am feeling insecure. Is that one of the things that you approach as a life coach?
Absolutely. I think everyone has insecurities. There's not one person on this earth that doesn't have insecurities. Mm-hmm. And for people to be able to own that and to come forth and say, you know what, I'm really afraid of X, or this is going on in my life that I'm upset about. It's that connection. It's that thing that people come to me that I can help them fix, that I mm-hmm. can help them break down their fears and these beliefs that they have mm-hmm. and really help them move forward.
Okay. So you took your first steps realizing your new story without having a life coach at that time. And no one has served that role for you. So how were you able to keep yourself accountable for your decisions and helping map them out? How did you do that?
That's a great question. I mean, far back in the day when I had another job and I had this calling, I had this feeling like I need to help other people. And in every position I've ever had, I was always that go-to person. Mm-hmm. So people would come to me and ask me questions. And I felt, you know what, I need to do something with this. I need to help inspire other people. So without having somebody to help me, I found something that really filled me up and that really made me think, I really want to do this with my life. I had to be accountable to myself, and I actually did hire a coach because I needed somebody to push me. And I think having somebody to hold your hand and say, it's okay, you can do this. Every one of us needs that.
Yep.
And I think just knowing that I gave myself permission to say, I can do this, instead of all those stories in my mind that I said, I can't, I'm not going to be good enough.
Right.
They weren't true.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned that you utilized a life coach. And a lot of times I talk about, if you have a lot of pressures in your life, you can either draw from your natural resources, which mm-hmm. is your natural support network, or your artificial resources.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you are lacking in that natural resource, that a life coach is a great option because they can help you overcome those pressures.
Absolutely.
So working towards the empowerment of others, particularly women, isn't something completely new to you. So how did your involvement in the Kappa Kappa Gamma sorority help shape your search for authenticity? How did that work help contribute to that?
Gosh, it seems so long ago.
Mm-hmm, right?
I think just being, I'm going to even back up further, if you don't mind.
No, not at all.
To go back to when I was in high school, or when I was actually in grade school.
Please.
And I went to an all-girls school. And I was very insecure, and I wrote about this in my book. I was very insecure because I didn't feel like I was smart enough or good enough or as great as the other students. So what I did as a defense mechanism was I bullied other kids. Mm. I made them feel badly about themselves. So at an early age, I learned, of course, I didn't know this in right. seventh grade, but over time I learned that, you know what, I'm cutting other people down to make myself feel better. And so growing up, going in a sorority with a bunch of women and constantly being around women, I realized that, you know what, someone else's actions or the way someone else acts is not a reflection of me. It's a reflection of them. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So I learned it just that being around women and constantly wanting to empower these women to be their best selves has stemmed from back when I was younger, and mm-hmm. I felt very insecure and not confident.
Right. You know, it's funny. I was reading one of your posts, one of your longer posts on Facebook that had like 57 comments, and we were talking earlier that for the 57 that wrote, there's like hundreds of others that are watching and listening, and you wrote about your experience going on live television that you had originally had been asked some time ago before you had found your authentic self, and then here you are. You said yes, and you found out at the last second that they were not going to talk about authenticity in your book, that it was going to be about this mean girl experience. Mm-hmm. How did you overcome that? Like, how did you find the ability to be brave enough to get on there and then change it? How did that turn out, that whole interview?
You know, it was funny because I was nervous going into it. That was my first live interview. And mm-hmm. then I realized literally 30 seconds, this isn't what it's supposed to be about. And
sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
I know. I actually had this panic attack. I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. And I know now to stop myself and say, I can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that self-talk. It's, okay, you can do this. You are best at just winging things, honestly. And so go in and pull your strengths. And they're going to ask you questions and be authentic, mm-hmm. right? Give them your answers. Right. You were a bully. Yep. I was. I'm not going to pretend like I wasn't, and I'm not going to act like, you know, I even said to the producers, oh my gosh, I don't even know what we're talking about today, and you announced it on live TV 2 minutes ago, and I'm nervous. And just owning that, mm-hmm. it makes everyone else comfortable. It makes them comfortable with me, and I could just get on there and say I'm not, and it turned out fine.
I'm sure it did.
It's fine. Right. Nobody ever knew that was my first time, except I owned it and said, oh my gosh, it was so frightening.
Right. And you brought your authentic self, so yep. I mean, someone yep. should do that. It's interesting. I was watching BoJack Horseman last night, and he's going around and he's saying he's sorry to all the people that he's wronged, and he's still creating a mess. But did you go back and say you're sorry to some of those people?
I have said I'm sorry to some people.
Okay.
Yes. And that's one of those, you know, one of those things where you think, I need to do this, I need to do this, and then why am I not? So that's a really good question. Yes. And the girl that I actually bullied, all the time, I want to go back and call her, and I don't know why that is, and that's one of my big time things I really want to check off my list. So thank you for saying
awesome.
That. I'm going to go do that this week.
Okay, good. We can do a follow up. We'll do a follow up
yes.
later on. We can talk about
it.
How'd it
go?
So you chose this particular brand of life coaching, the Martha Beck. Can you tell us a little bit about what drew you to that, especially for those of us who aren't as familiar with the genre of care?
Mm-hmm. Martha Beck was, I found her. She is a writer for Oprah magazine, and she's her first book was Finding Your North Star. It was her first or second book. And I resonated with everything in that because what she did was give me permission to be honest and tell the truth. And so Martha Beck had this whole just that be authentic piece. And that's what I loved most about Martha Beck was she came out and she said, you know what, I was a Harvard professor and that wasn't my right life. And mm-hmm. I gave up everything that I thought I should be doing and started doing what I wanted to do. And I really resonated with that because how many of us go through the motions of our lives saying, I should be X, right? I should be an English teacher because I have an English degree.
Right.
Although that didn't really, really, that's not really what I wanted to do. So mm-hmm. I really resonated with her program and the be authentic and coach your clients from a place of authenticity. So that word has just stuck with me and it's really been something I've clung onto.
Okay. And so in a blog post, you also noted that the perception of life coaches has been changing. So when you first started, maybe that wasn't considered as acceptable or as scientific mm-hmm. or, you know, a results-based. And so now people going from being skeptical to being a lot more accepting of life coaches. What do you think is driving this change?
I think kind of the whole idea of going to a psychologist seemed really scary, or it seemed like you were going to be judged. So someone saying, you know, you're going to a psychologist, that means you're X. A life coach is, I'm not going back. I'm not saying this is why. I'm saying this is where you want to go in your life. So as a life coach, I want to say, what do you want to do? What's your next 10 years look like? And how are we going to get there? And honestly, I think it's the perception of, you know what, it's just helping me get from point A to point B.
Right.
There's nothing shameful about it. And there's so much shame in this world that, you know, again, I've been a psychologist, I've been a life coach, I've done it all.
Right. And I think, too, like, people still have this idea, like, you know, seeing a psychologist, seeing a shrink, and that there's some type of stigma involved mm-hmm. with that.
Absolutely.
And with a life coach, it's like, oh, this person's just kind of helped me along, draw
yep.
some plans,
yep.
do a vision board, we're setting our goals, she's
you
helping me keep accountable. Okay, makes a lot of sense. So we talked in the beginning of the program that a lot more people are interested in authenticity today than a few years ago, yet they keep missing the mark. So what are some practical suggestions that you give to your clients, or maybe that you've even given to yourself, that people can do right now to kind of help them break out of this vicious cycle and start on their ascent on a virtuous cycle?
That's a great question. And I start off by teaching.
I don't mean for you to give free advice, but.
Oh, no. I'm happy to do so. Like I said, empower other people. That's my goal. There's a social self and there's an authentic self. So what happens is our authentic self is who we are when we're born. Okay. That's our essence, our core. It's who we are. And our social self is who we become based on what society thinks we should be. Right. My mom thinks I should do this, or my teacher thinks
right.
this, or if I act this way, you know, that's wrong. So what we do is we struggle with, am I being authentic, what I really want to do, versus am I being my social self, which is what I think I should do. So the first step I always start with my clients is, who's your authentic self? What do you want to do? You know, so many clients come and say, you know, I'm a lawyer because my dad wanted me to be a lawyer.
Right.
Do you want to be a lawyer? No. Okay, bingo, right there. And just starting with that, owning mm-hmm. who you are and being safe, having that safe place to be able to say that, it starts such an empowerment, like, mm-hmm. road. So starting down that path of just knowing who you are, being authentic, and deciding, am I doing this because I think I should, or am I doing this because
right.
I want to? That's
Is
huge.
Is there a particular tool or some type of resource that you think that they can use to help make that search become a little bit more successful and more concrete for them? Because, you know, we can say, like, oh, I don't want to be a lawyer, but what do I want to do? And then how do I give up this comfort of living that I have? Is there something in particular that you maybe utilize as a tool that's as an assistant in this process?
My favorite tool is asking one question. So when you're going down this road of, I'm going to take myself for example, I can't write a book because I'm not smart enough, nobody's going to read it, who am I to write a self-help book, blah, 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 right? The one question I've learned and that I empower everyone else to ask is that true? Okay, so no, it's not true that I can't write a book, right? And somebody's going to buy my book. All these questions I had, all these beliefs, all these fears I had, because what we do is we stop moving forward because of fears. So when you can ask yourself that question, is it true? To your own self,
yeah.
right? Is it true that I can't write a book? Actually, no.
Right.
Is it true that I can't go on live TV and speak? My mind says, absolutely, yeah. you cannot do that.
Right.
Right. But I had to stop just like I did that day and say, you know what? I can do this. Is it true that I'm not going to be able to do this? No, it's not true. That's just a story I'm telling myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of my favorite things is for people to stop when they have this belief or they have this fear or they have this thing they want to do, but they're afraid, is to say, you know, is it true? Are these mm-hmm. stories I'm telling myself really true? Because that's, you know, we stay in fear. We stay stuck in fear because that's safe.
I like that.
So stepping outside of your comfort zone is really hard and it's really scary. But what is that that's holding you back from doing that? It's just your story.
Right. And then, is that true? That's great. Life takes a lot of twists and turns that we could never imagine that they come, and something that you know. So let's try to imagine what's next for you.
You know what? I was actually just asked that a couple days
ago.
One
of the things I would wonder, because I read your book. I really enjoyed it. Took it with
Thank
me
you.
Traveling. It was a great read. And I recommend it for everyone to read it. Are you writing another book? I'm sure I'm not the first person to ask you this question.
You know what? Some days yes and some days no. My next step, what I really, really want to do mm-hmm. is, my passion is to travel. And my passion is to coach. So I would love to combine the two and start taking groups to a beautiful island in the South Caribbean or somewhere and do coaching down there. So
sign me up.
Yeah. I mean, it's like my dream come true. I can be in the sun
sure.
and I can coach people and put
sure.
like women together mm-hmm. where they're empowering each other and talking to each other and sorting through that stuff. That's if I had to look in a crystal ball, that's what I think I would be doing next.
You know, and then I think being in an environment where they're going to be relaxed and also outside of their everyday life, mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's necessary to be removed from your physical environment to revisit Definitely. Some different mental environments. You know, just driving, taking a new route back from work, sleeping on the other side of the bed, all of those things can kind of promote some of those changes.
Absolutely.
Okay, so tell me more about your Create What You Crave workshops. So you've done, what, 3 or 5 of them? How many?
I've done a couple of them virtually. I've done a couple of them in person.
Okay.
So basically, the Create What You Crave workshop is, it's like a 5-step process. It's kind of figuring out who you are, which mm-hmm. starts with that authenticity. Figuring out what it is you want. Okay, so what do you want to do? So let's say I want to teach workshops in the Bahamas, okay? So the third step in that is figuring out what's holding you back from doing that, right? So, mm-hmm. and then, you know, how are you going to get there? So those are kind of the steps, like, what do you want to do? How do you want to do it? Where are you going to do, you know, where are you right. going to go to do that? So it's creating what you crave is, this is my desire. This is where I am now. And how are we going to take those steps? And you have to break down those fears. You have to break down those thoughts and get you to that place of, okay, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And when people see that they can do it, they take baby steps. You know, I walk them through the baby steps. This is how you're going to do it this week and next week and the following week. So it empowers them to have that end goal, mm-hmm. and they do it.
And I also noticed that you limit your classes to small sizes, which means to me that it's less about, you know, cashing in, and yep. it's more about really actually helping people, which I thought was tremendous. So what, do you have another workshop coming up?
I do not. I'm going to have one in the fall. I okay. do not have dates yet,
okay.
but I'm going to empty nester in the fall, sure. like we talked about.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I have lots of time.
Two girls in college. Do you have a website that they can kind of check back for some updates?
I do. It's lisapanos.com.
Okay. So do you still have time to be a life coach? And if you do, where would people want to hire you?
Well, they can go to my website and fill out a form right there that just, it's like a contact information. Mm-hmm. They can just say what they're interested in, and I get back with them hopefully within 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And so just, you know, there's workshops on there. There are coaching packages. So whatever you're interested in, I offer free 15, 20-minute talks, which half the time end up in an hour because I love sure. engaging with people.
Sure.
But just to see what they're interested in, if I'm a good fit for them. So that would be the good place to start.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you for a favor today.
Sure.
Okay. So I brought your book.
Okay.
I was wondering if you could read to our listeners one of your favorite passages or something that you think is a really powerful part.
Absolutely.
Do you mind doing
no,
that?
No, not okay. at all. Let me put on my little glasses okay. so I can see. Okay. Let's see. So.
Okay.
My favorite part is the keep moving forward. So I think in life, to make a long story short, is we want something and then we stop, right? Because we're afraid or whatever. So my favorite passage, in my early 20s, I went on a 3-week trip to Australia. At the time, I was ungrateful, upset this expedition was cutting into my social schedule. My parents sent me with a group of people I didn't know because they thought it would be a great experience. I suspected it would be a total drag, but didn't see how big of a drag I was being. While traveling around the country, one of our 4 stops was the Great Barrier Reef. The only certified scuba diver in the group, I considered not going out on the excursion because I didn't want to go alone. However, I knew my chances of returning to Queensland were slim, so I decided the opportunity to dive there was much more significant than my fear, so I went for it. Once on the boat, I realized nobody else spoke English besides me, and I'd been paired off with a dive buddy, this is a standard safety precaution, who couldn't understand a word I said, even when I told him I will not go into any caves. Holding my mask in place with one hand and knowing it was too late to turn back, I rolled off the back of the boat into the water, certain my dive partner had no clue how terrified I was. 10 minutes into our dive, we swam toward a wide opening of what appeared to be a cave. Oh God, please no, I thought. Please don't let this be a cave. Please don't let us go inside. Sure enough, despite the fact I signaled an emphatic no, my dive buddy proceeded into the abyss with the rest of the group. I had no other option but to go in too, considering I didn't want to be left for dead at the bottom of the South Seas. I could feel the pounding of my heart through my regulator. I was in full panic mode, convinced I was going to die. I kept trying to regulate my buoyancy so my tank would stop scraping the top of the cave, but I couldn't focus on anything other than living through this. At one point, I was breathing so heavily, I started flipping out about my oxygen air supply. Was I going to use up all my oxygen and perish right there? What if I need a buddy breathe? Did I even pass this portion of the test? I don't remember how to share a regulator. The more I panicked, the heavier I breathed. The heavier I breathed, the more I panicked. I knew I had to stop freaking out and get a hold of myself, so I slowed my breath down, concentrating on each inhale and exhale. Somehow, by the grace of God, focusing on the rhythm of my breath calmed me down. As my breaths slowed, so did my thoughts. Maybe I can do this. Maybe I'm not going to die. This is actually pretty amazing. How many people get to do something like this in their lifetime? I'm so fortunate. I'm glad I'm here. Just like that, I transitioned from wondering who would miss me when I died to slowly noticing the life, the sea urchins, living in the cracks and crevices of the cave walls. My whole thought shift was purely magical. Swimming along, I started to feel a sense of calm. When we came out the other side, I was in a whole new underwater world, surrounded by the most electrifying, colorful fish and flora I have ever seen. For a moment, I didn't have a care in the world. For the first time in my life, I was fully present without runaway thoughts or worries. The day before and the day after didn't matter. Amongst the ocean's beautiful creatures, I felt like I was floating in pure, uninhibited peace. Looking back now, I know why I panicked. I planted the seed of doubt before I submerged into the sea. I had closed myself off to the opportunity before I even started to dive. I had said no before considering a yes. Had I stuck with my original refusal, I never would have had the amazing dive experience I now considered a cherished memory and a life-changing experience. I am convinced my dive in the Great Barrier Reef paved the way for the courageous moments I have needed throughout my adult life because I had to learn, quickly, nothing amazing comes from being comfortable. I had to feel fear, face it, and decide on my next move. The cave started as a metaphor for my own life, but has transformed into one for how and why I coach others. How many times a day do you stop before you fully begin? How often do your stories stop you from living fully? You must enter and swim through your own cave if you ever want to experience the pure beauty, fulfillment, and joy awaiting on the other side. Although you will never know what the other side looks like or feels like until it's reached, embarking on the journey is the most important, critical part of the process. If you want to grow, expand, and explore all life has to offer, there are no other options but to go in, go through, and come out the other side. You can, you should, and when you're brave enough, you will.
I love it. It's like my favorite part too. And I don't scuba dive. And I was right with you there. I started to hyperventilate and I was so scared. But the whole story about you going on the other side, and it just sounds an incredible part. I'm really glad that you chose that one. Thank you for sharing with our listeners.
And it talks about everybody's life, right? You have to go through it. You have to go through the fear and get to the other side, and then it's beautiful.
Yes, it is beautiful. So last question.
Yep.
What do your big girl pants look like?
Oh my gosh. Well, the ones I'm wearing now.
But when you envision your big girl pants, what does it look like?
My big girl pants are, or when I envision them, I think I know they look like they're continuing to grow, hopefully I'm not continuing to grow.
Right, not literally.
But figuratively. And they're strong and they're supportive and they're holding me up and they're allowing me to walk through this world with confidence. And they look great on me.
Oh, good.
That's how I envision it.
I love it. Well, thank you for sharing your fashion sense with us and also your sensibilities for authenticity. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed being here.
Oh, me too. That's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Rhea Greif, and you've been listening to You Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.